This weekend we have some good readings. I'd like to preach on all of them. I'm going to preach on the gospel. What we have in the gospel is the last installment, if you will, of the Bread of Life discourse. That for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks counting today, we've been hearing from John chapter 6. Jesus has been giving us his Bread of Life discourse, which is his very clear teaching on the Eucharist. And out of the four, this one may be the hardest for us to receive. This one may be the hardest for us to understand. Because we see the result of his teaching. We see what happens, how the people received it. Many people left Jesus because of his tough teaching. After he went through explaining the Eucharist, it says, as a result of this, many disciples returned to their former ways of life and no longer accompanied him. That within Jesus' ministry, he had 12 apostles and probably hundreds, if not thousands, of disciples, many people who followed him. And at the end of this teaching, most of his disciples left him. And then Jesus turned to Peter, actually turned to the apostles, but Peter spoke on behalf of the apostles. And Jesus asked him, "Do you want to leave me also?" This question of "Do you want to leave me also?" is one that not only Jesus asked his apostles, but one that we ourselves hear. We hear it from our friends, our family. We hear it from ourselves, saying, the church believes crazy things. The church does crazy things. Do you want to leave it also? Not only do our friends and family say that, we ourselves sometimes ask ourselves that question. And not only that, but Jesus himself asks that question. Are you going to leave? Are you going to leave when times become tough? Are you going to leave when things are hard to understand? When you don't really know what is happening? Are you going to leave? I'm sure most of you are aware of what's happened in the church in the last month. The scandals that have been in the news. They are very hard for us to understand. They're hard to see how a church that claims moral authority can allow these things to happen. Since these things have transpired in the news, Bishop Kagan wrote a letter that he wants all the faithful to hear, a letter that's supposed to be read at all the masses this weekend. So every mass in this diocese will hear this letter. This is what Bishop Kagan says. "Dear friends in Christ, I write to you in order to speak about that which I have always thought is unspeakable, that is, about sexual abuse and molestation of children, minors. The recent revelations regarding McCarrick and what transpired in the state of Pennsylvania are simply horrific, and worse, grievously and mortally sinful. These acts of raw immorality done by clergy and either dismissed or covered up by other clergy are evil in its real form. Those who have done these terrible things must be prosecuted civilly to the furthest extent allowable by the law. They must have the severest church penalties imposed on them for the most serious sins and crimes against the sixth commandment of God. Every priest and bishop, before ordination, makes a profession of faith and takes an oath of fidelity to speak and act so as to build up the church and to set an example for all entrusted to their spiritual care. As we have been made painfully aware, this has not been done, and all guilty must answer for their actions. However, what about you, our Catholic faithful? As you do your very best to remain faithful to Christ and his church, where does this leave our good and faithful priests, deacons, and religious men and women, as they do their very best to fulfill their vocations and service to you? This leaves us all ashamed, with a sense of real anger that we have been betrayed. But it should not leave us in despair or despondency. On the contrary, this is a time of purification by the Holy Spirit, and especially for all of us who are blessed to be the shepherds of souls and the guides of others to Christ. This kind of evil can only be driven out by sincere prayer and penance. And I have committed myself to do so this daily in reparation for these grievous offenses. In your charity, if you can, I ask you to join me. Just as important, we must pray for the victims and their families who have been so wounded, that they will have peace and consolation, and that they do not lose hope. Our diocese has worked to fully implement the Charter of Protection of Children and Young People, and we have even required more of our priests, deacons, and all who have contact with them. Regular background checks, regular in-services by way of reminder, immediate reporting to law enforcement of allegations, removal from office of position upon substantiated evidence of wrongdoing, are all being done and will continue. Apologies are meaningless. What is needed is action through prayer and penance for the victims and our willingness to sustain them in their need. I intend to continue to do this, and I call on all of our priests, deacons, and employees and volunteers to continue to do the same. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Faithfully yours in Christ, Bishop David D. Kagan, Bishop of Bismarck. It's hard to imagine that these things could happen. It's hard to imagine that people who claim to act on behalf of the church could do stuff like this. Whenever something like this happens and it's easy to become discouraged, I think of a story of St. Pius VII. St. Pius VII was Pope during the time of Napoleon, and he has a funeral monument in St. Peter's Basilica. When I was a tour guide there, I used to tell this story, that during the time of Napoleon, Napoleon tried to act favorably to the church. He tried to flirt with the church, tried to get the church to help him out. But Pius VII and other clergy always stood up to him, said what he was doing was wrong. And Napoleon said to Pius VII, "If you don't get out of my way, I will crush the church. I will destroy the church." And Pius VII said, "If in 1800 years we haven't destroyed ourselves, then there's nothing you can do about it." That the fact that the church has went through many persecutions, and one of the worst is the one from within, and the fact that that hasn't destroyed us proves the church's divinity, proves the church's goodness to a certain extent. That we see that this is a divine institution that is run by humans, that these problems are not a problem of the institution itself, that what Christ gave us is still good, that these are human errors. The priests are sinful. Priests go to confession, and they need to ask God's mercy. It's hard to imagine as a young priest seeing these things. I've only been a priest just over a year, and to see about these allegations, I remember when they first came out in 2001, 2002. I remember hearing about them. This doesn't make me discouraged at all. It makes me disappointed, but not discouraged. And just like what Bishop Kagan says, this isn't a time for persecution. This is a time of renewal. This is a time of renewal within the Holy Spirit. That when I see these things happen, it doesn't discourage me of being a priest, but it encourages me ever more to be a holier, faithful priest. Because I know that this is not the church that I joined. That this is not the church that Christ loved us. That what these men have done has discouraged a lot of people. And we need to show them exactly what Christ wanted and what Christ wished to give us. So how do we respond to this? I encourage you that when you guys hear things like this, to take the words of St. Peter, the ones that we hear in today's gospel, that when Christ looks at everyone after they've left him, he says, "Are you going to leave us also?" Peter responds, "Lord, where do we go? We believe that you have the words of eternal life, right? We believe that you are God." That's what we need to say as well. That when we hear these tough things within the church, we must not become discouraged. What we have to say is that you are God. You are the Eucharist. You just gave us this beautiful teaching on the Eucharist, this gift that you wanted to give us to sustain us through these tough times. Lord, where are we supposed to go? You are the Eucharist, and we will not leave you. That Jesus is the Eucharist, and we will not leave him. And it is that which will sustain us through these tough times. So today I encourage you guys to join myself and Bishop Kagan in prayer and fasting in reparation for this, and to show the people the beauty of the church, to show them the truth and goodness that God wanted to give us in this institution that we know, that we love, and that has the Eucharist.